This podcast was specifically created for Distress and Crisis Ontario organizations and their volunteer responders to provide training and educational assistance on a variety of topics. As information evolves and changes, these podcasts are meant to offer ongoing support with the goal of updating them on an ongoing basis. We thank the volunteer responders and the contributors to this podcast. Please visit our website, dcontario.org, for more information and how to access free mental health services. Thank you.
Brenda, and I'm currently a BSW student completing my placement at DCO. In this week's episode, my co-host Caitlin, who is a program coordinator with DCO, interviews Laura, an employee at the Working Center, to get her perspective of hope while working through the pandemic.
Hello, this is Caitlin Plant, program coordinator for Distress and Crisis Ontario, and I am here today with Laura to do a podcast on hope and COVID-19 in the workplace as she is experiencing it in her role. Laura, could you please introduce yourself and tell me a little bit about your role at the Working Center?
So my name is Laura. I've been in the Resource Center for the last 5 years at the Working Center. So I enjoy it most days. And
yep. For anyone who doesn't know, what kind of supports do you offer at the Working Center?
Anyone that doesn't know, absolutely. There's so many people that assume that it's a one-sided sort of place where it's either people coming in looking for work and new resumes and people coming that speak only Arabic, or somebody that's drug addicted or homeless. And it's all of the above, actually. Mm. So there's so many things that we offer there that people really don't have any idea that we do.
Okay. But the main service that you offer is to help people find employment?
That is the goal of the Working Center, yeah. It's a safe environment. Prior to COVID, to come in to job search on public access computers, but also to see employment counselors, have a resume done, a lot of professionals from different countries coming.
So, bit of a change of subject, but how would you personally define hope?
Hope is a feeling I think we all hold to some brightness, no matter what it is, whether it's COVID being done or a baby being born or a job we hope to get, or it's a positive outcome to a situation.
Mm. I think that's a very good definition. So what kind of a role would hope normally play at your work?
So normally, if you were coming in looking for a job, the hope would be that you would get like an awesome resume and you would be helped to do some job searching and ultimately a goal of employment, whether it's survival based, just to get you some money to the end of the month, or if it's actually what you want to do for the rest of your life. Mm-hmm. That would be the hope for the employment end of it.
Has COVID-19 impacted that at all?
Absolutely. You can't just walk in anymore, as you can't in so many places now, but you can't just walk in anymore. We have a limited interaction with an employment counselor who's now behind plexiglass wearing goggles and a face mask, trying to do everything they can do for you in 30 minutes. You've been screened at the door and asked all of the COVID questions. We don't take temperature, so I think that would probably be the only difference. Hand sanitizer galore, masks available. So yeah, it's a whole other world. Our hours are different. People are introduced to like Zoom calls that they never knew of before. Mm-hmm. It's a whole new world. Whole new world.
So with all of these changes and what sounds like changes that can be very overwhelming, not just for you as the person enforcing all of these changes, but the people coming into this environment, how have you been able to instill hope for yourself, for your coworkers, and for the people coming through the door?
I would say for the people coming through the door, just the fact that we're even open when so many places are closed, is hope. Also that the counselors are willing to meet with people via the phone or email or Zoom, and then there's the face-to-face if they can get in through the door during our much reduced work hours. So I would say that's for the people coming through. For the people that work there, I think we might be an extra bit closer. We were a close bunch anyway, and we used to go out like once a month, and we'd have a drink, and we'd sit around, and we'd talk and laugh, and now it's different, but I think we might have each other's backs a little bit more. You're more, you know, are you okay? Can I help? You know, this really sucks. And not to say that I don't feel that way today, but maybe I won't feel that way tomorrow and I'm able to be helpful to somebody then. Mm-hmm. And they were being helpful to me today. And who was the third?
Just yourself. How are you yourself remaining hopeful?
I think that you have to know that eventually, I don't ever think this is going to go away. I think that it will become a part of life, like the flu, and it will just be, and we'll all say, hey, remember 2020? And it'll be a thing, but there's so many positive things that happen. Like you watch, like, Amelia, and it's amazing in a personal aspect to see somebody, to see people come together, teachers and children, and just people in general are just trying to be maybe a little bit kinder to each other. And then, you know, on another personal level, you know, to have the contact that I have with you guys and Theo and my kids, and you know, I miss my mom, and you know, it's just going to be something we'll get used to, but I think people are a bit more kind.
Fair enough. For anybody confused, Laura is the grandmother to my son, and Amelia is her granddaughter from her daughter. Yes.
I'm very lucky.
Okay, so do you have, aside from what you've already shared, any stories about hope during the pandemic that you can think of?
Wow, I think that I don't specifically, you know, there's a gentleman that comes to my work every day to say hello. Mm. And he does, we do an elbow bump, and he has skin cancer very, very badly. And he comes by with doctor's updates, and he, like, it's just amazing to me that he still seeks support from us, in not us, but me, in that way. Mm-hmm. And that I'm grateful for that. And I'm grateful for him, that mm-hmm. he's willing to share a part of his life with me.
Yeah, he still seeks that connection.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's very cool.
Yeah.
I have a very cool job most days.
So before we go, is there anything else that you would like to add that we haven't touched on already?
I don't think so. I do believe that the world is a little bit kinder. I don't believe that COVID is going anywhere, and I don't believe that masks are going anywhere. And, you know, maybe that makes us all love a bit more in our homes. As mm-hmm. of, you know, and doing the best that we can all do with maybe a little bit more effort now.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much for sharing your time and your answers with me today. And on behalf of DCO, yeah, thank you.
Anytime.
Hi, I'm Damien, one of the editors of the DCO Learning Forms podcast. Over the past year, we've been busy converting our Learning Forms series of videos into podcasts and thinking of new ways to continue delivering new and more in-depth content. We've seen the demand, and we're announcing our move to Pinecast and our new tip jar function. Please consider going to tips.pinecast.com/jar/distress and crisis Ontario and donating. And in return, we'll be recording new follow-up episodes on some of our most popular topics. These will be accessible for tippers only, and will help pay for travel, web hosting, etc. For the interim, you'll still be able to access existing content on both the Pinecast and Fireside feeds for free, but eventually we'll be making the switch to Pinecast. Thank you for your understanding.